2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now let me repeat that. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Who or what is the treasure? It's Jesus. We have the treasure. The treasure is Jesus. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about, I'm going to read that again. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Ernestine liked it. Let's read it again. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Praise the Lord. If you've ever had the task of going and buying picture frames, God bless your heart. I mean, you would think a picture frame's a picture frame, but I have never, you go to Kohl's and it is just massive aisle after aisle of picture frames. But most of the time when you go buy a picture frame, you have a purpose, and that's to buy a frame that you think will fit the picture or that you have. So you find the size, and most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, included with that picture frame is a picture of a fake family. You've got some fake kid. Not they're real people, but they're just used for promotional purposes. It's not real to you, but it's just an image. It's a paper picture to kind of give you an idea of what that frame is going to look like surrounding that picture. So you go in with the intent and the purpose of focusing on the frame. But when you get home, after you've purchased said frame, you go home and get the picture. You take out the paper picture and you put in the picture that you desire. Normally that picture is something that means something to you. Because if it didn't, you'd probably keep it in a photo album somewhere, or you'd put it in file 13, right? You know what that is, right? But it's something that means something to you. Something that you want on display. And in that moment of time, when you take out that paper picture and you put in that picture that means something to you, the frame becomes insignificant, and what you treasure is on the inside. You went looking for a frame, but then after you got the frame don't mean much because of what's on the inside. You went in looking for a real frame, but you found a fake picture. But then when you put in the real picture, the frame became insignificant because what's on the inside matters more than what's on the outside. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. See, this picture that you have placed in this frame, in order to preserve the picture, you have to preserve the frame. If you damage the frames, maybe it's a good chance you may damage the picture. So even though the frame is insignificant, it's still important. You have to take care of what's holding the picture. Whatever is real, whatever means something to you, is on the inside. And Paul said in here, I have this treasure in earthen vessel. What he was saying was, I'm not much on the outside, but what you see on the outside is just holding the treasure that's on the inside. And so people may look at us and they may not see much on the outside, but I've got some news for you. I got some encouraging news for you today. If you are a child of God, guess what? You hold on the inside something more valuable and more precious than all this world's riches combined. It is the precious Son of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad tonight that we have a treasure? We hold the treasure tonight. And I'm thankful that God uses us as a vessel to hold this beautiful treasure that we have in earthen vessels. And so I want you to notice tonight that this Corinthian church, can I just say this? They are messed up. They are a messed up church. But I want you to notice why they're messed up. This is the church, of course, that Paul founded and Paul started. And now they have turned their back against him. The people that he led to the Lord, the people that he led to Jesus Christ, the church that he founded, now those same people have turned their back against him. And so now he's writing this letter because this letter, the Corinthian church has been infiltrated by false teaching. And what they're doing in order to try to bring a reproach on the church that Paul started, they go after the leader or the founder of that church. So what they do is they falsely accuse Paul of some things. Number one, they falsely accuse him that he's not even a real apostle. They try to make light of his calling that God placed in his life. Secondly, they really accuse him of not being a man of his word, because he told them that he would take a trip there to Corinth one time and he didn't show up. And so they construed that to say he's not a man of his word. And then thirdly, you'll find on different occasions that they accused him of stealing money from the church and using it for his own personal gain. So falsely accusing him were these people that he had led to Christ, people that he thought loved him, people that no doubt he thought they cared for him, but now because they are infiltrated by false teaching, they now turn their back on him. So he sits down and writes this letter to try to defend himself and try to make himself known and try to validate the calling that God has placed in his life. So he writes this letter to defend himself. Now let me back up and say this. This gives us an idea of how evil and how cruel the world can be to us as children of God. Even though they falsely accused him of some things, let's bring this down to where we're living. It only takes one situation, only takes one circumstance for us to seemingly to be like Paul, having to defend ourselves of what we are doing. We're trying to validate us being a child of God. And I don't care who you are. If you've been serving the Lord for 5, 10, 15 years, you may not have had to face it yet, but there will come a time when people will falsely accuse you. We sing a song, I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. I've been rebuked, I've been scorned, talked about, sure as I've been born. And that's the way it is. You'll find it, no matter who you are, people will accuse you, not because of who you are, but because of what's on the inside. And so Paul, he defends himself, but what he does it in such a beautiful way. He says, listen, what you're saying about me is not true. But I'm not saying that I'm better than you. I'm paraphrasing here. I'm the chiefest among you. I'm a defective person. I am broken. I am no better than anybody else. I am a sinner just like you. And what's valuable about me is not the frame. What's valuable about me is what's on the inside. He said, I have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so when people accuse you of who you are, just remind them, I'm no better than you. I'm the chiefest among sinners. The only difference between me and you is the fact that the frame is not pretty. The frame may be broken. The frame may be bent and battered and bruised, but it's what's on the inside that makes me so special. It's the fact that Jesus lives on the inside. Amen. He says, who is valuable on the inside is that's what I'm all about, Paul said. It's Jesus. He said, I'm the house where Jesus lives. Think about that. Think about the next time you try to abuse your body or do things that are or against the temple of God. Remember, you are the temple. You are the house that Jesus lives in. You are the house that Jesus lives in. And if you're trying to just to think about who Jesus is, let me think about this. This is the person that lives on the inside of you. Matthew 1:17 says that he is, 3:17 says he is the Son of God. That means he is God's legacy. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And we know in verse 14 that says that Jesus was the Word. So not only is he the legacy of God, but he's the logos of God. John 1:4 says he is the light of the world. John 1:29 says he is the Lamb of God. John 3:16 says he is the love of God. Colossians 1:14 says he is the likeness of God. And Colossians 2:9 says he is the life of God. That's who lives on the inside of you. The legacy of God, the logos of God, the light of God, the Lamb of God, the love of God, the likeness of God, the life of God. That's who lives on the inside. It's Jesus. If you haven't shouted yet, you should shout right there. The fact that it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. You are nothing on the outside. We are all just a vessel. But thank God we have a treasure on the inside. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And so the tension of the text is this. Why would God allow divine content to live in a defective container? Why would he do that? I'm glad he does. He allows divine content, Tom Martin, to live in a defective container. God still allows the perfect to live in the imperfect. He allows the unlimited to live in the limited. He allows the unbreakable to live inside the broken. I don't know why he does it, but I'm glad he does. I'm glad the one that created this universe, and really he cannot be housed. He is so big and so massive, there ain't nowhere you can go that you cannot find him or touch him where he is not. But I'm so thankful that because he is who he is, he found a dwelling place on the inside. And I am just an earthen vessel. But I'm so thankful that you may look on the outside and not see much, but on the inside is what matters. It's the picture inside the frame. It's somebody real that lives on the inside. Hallelujah. It's a treasure in earthen vessels. Now, we have to understand what this earthen vessel is to really understand. And this is the message is going to be short. The introduction is going to be long. I'll tell you when I'm about ready to the message and you'll say, hallelujah, he's almost done. So let me tell you what this vessel is. When we think of a vessel, we think of a piece of pottery or a vase. But actually, all we have to do is look up into verse 6 and find out what kind of vessel he's talking about. He says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts, give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus Christ. So we find out from that, if we just think a little bit, we find out what kind of vessel it really is. It's actually a lamp that he's talking about. A lamp that carries the treasure, but doesn't conceal the treasure. So that's the whole point. We have a treasure, but the treasure is not meant for us to bury somewhere and not tell anybody about it. The treasure, the vessel, which is us, is meant to be a container that doesn't conceal the treasure, but that it reveals the treasure. And it's revealed because of the light. We are a light-carrying vessel. Everybody follow me? Okay, half of you do. That's okay. Some of you are all asleep. That's okay. I have that effect on people sometimes. And so he says this. He says, we have this treasure. We're carrying this light. I'm a container. I'm a defective container, but I'm carrying divine content. I'm carrying the light of God on the inside. And he says, I want to tell you how this treasure and how this relationship works. Because you see the treasure, but I want you to notice the trouble. He said, the reason why this relationship works is because it's been put to the test. And because we've been put to the test, together, we've passed the test. And because of that, we can look at these four different occasions that he talks about in verses 8 and 9 and show just how wonderful this relationship is. Number one, I want you to notice, he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. That word troubled means to close into a tight space. Have you ever felt so overwhelmed that you felt closed in? There was nobody around you, but it didn't matter if there was any people around you at all. I was studying this, and then I saw that picture of the people from Afghanistan in that massive plane. They were huddled in there so tight, and that's the picture that I got. They were in there so tight, packed in there so tightly, no room to move, no room to hardly breathe, and that's the way the devil would like to get us. And sometimes we do feel that way. Just because we are a child of God and just because we're carrying the light does not mean we are exempt from feeling overwhelmed and feeling the pressures of life. But the good news is we may be troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. He said, just because we're closed in doesn't mean we're closed out. It doesn't mean that God doesn't give us a way out. Aren't you thankful tonight that in the midst of being overwhelmed, there is a way out? Hallelujah. Thank God. He will not put on you more than you can bear. There is always a way out. And in His way, in His time, you'll get out of that place when you feel so closed in. I'm thankful for the promise. We may be troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. And then He says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. That word perplexed talks about mental anguish. It basically means, in the Greek, to be without resources. He says, we are without resources. But then he says, but not in despair. The word despair in the Greek means hopeless. So he says, even though we may feel like we are mentally anguished, we feel like we're mentally exhausted, even though we feel like we're out of resources, he says, we are not without hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Child of God, you should be able to shout over that tonight. All these things that are going on around us, we are mentally tired, mentally exhausted. We can't even think of our own names. We walk into a room, don't even know why we walked in there. We walk back out of the room and can't figure out why we're in there. We don't know what we're doing because the devil gets us so worried with all these things going on around us. But we're not without hope tonight, folks. Hallelujah, glory to God. We have hope. It's because of the treasure on the inside. Somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. Your car's in the parking lot, so they already know you're here. Might as well enjoy it. Amen. He says, we're troubled, but we're not distressed, perplexed, but we're not in despair. Then he says, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. What's that mean? It literally means we are being chased down, but we're not left alone. Says we're being pursued after, but we're not left alone. Aren't you thankful for that? Oh, I don't know if you've ever felt that way before. Like you wake up in the morning and the devil's on your tail. Devil's falling out everywhere you go. Seems like you're running into him somewhere. And that's the way we do. That's the way we feel like sometimes. But I'm thankful he don't stick around too long, because he knows I got a partner running with me. Amen. I got someone running with me, and it's that treasure I have on the inside. He says, we are persecuted but not forsaken. And I love this part. We are cast down but not destroyed. Now that's very important. Guess what the word cast down means, Tony? This is amazing. It means to throw down. Ain't that powerful? You can laugh. It's a joke. It's literally, it means to throw down. It says, even though we've been thrown down, we are not destroyed. Now, why is that important? Because what is he talking about? He's talking about a vessel that holds light. So it says, even though the vessel has been thrown down, it is not destroyed. Why? Why, even though the vessel can be thrown down, why is it not destroyed? I'll tell you why. Because what's on the inside? So really, now think about this, but don't you think it, Caps? The vessel isn't carrying the treasure. The treasure is actually carrying the vessel. I'll tell you over here because that was good. The vessel isn't actually carrying the treasure. The treasure is actually carrying the vessel. Praise the Lord. That's why we can be cast down. That's why we can be thrown around. That's why we can be shaken. But thank God we will not be destroyed because we have a treasure on the inside. And we can be beaten, broken, battered, and bruised. But thank God we're going to get right back up in Jesus' name. Why? Because it's not us. It's not us that's getting back up. It's the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Now you're going to... you already think I'm crazy, so let me just tell you this real quick. The best way I could illustrate this is, you all know I've given you illustrations before about the days when I loved to watch professional wrestling. Real wrestling. I'm not talking about Olympics, I'm talking about real wrestling. I'm talking about Hulk Hogan. My favorite's Ric Flair, but I love Hulk Hogan too. I had all the Hulk Hogan stuff. And so the greatest, you'll do yourself a favor if you go on YouTube and you watch WrestleMania 4 with Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. It's the greatest wrestling match of all time. And so it was a huge, I think it was Madison Square Garden, wasn't it? It was a huge facility. I think it was Madison Square Garden. And that was the final match. If you've ever seen it, they drag it out. I mean, they bring him in on little rings. You know, Andre the Giant's, you know, huge giant of a man. And Hulk Hogan's big himself, but he looked puny compared to Andre the Giant. And so the match goes on. Back and forth. The intensity is just brewing in the air. And it got to be where Andre the Giant, you know, gave the old-fashioned bear hug. That was one of his favorite moves. He gave Hulk Hogan the bear hug and tried to, you know, knock him out and black him out by losing his oxygen. And Hulk Hogan, this is his famous way he would do things. He would get down to the point where he was almost out, Ralph. And these guys were wore out. Andre rolled him over, lay that big body on him. Referee come over. And Hogan would hold that hand up like that. Because the count of three, it was over. The match was over. And just when they thought that Hogan was done, Andre would run over there again. And they would go, one, two, and Hogan would hold his hand up. As if to say, I'm not done yet. And then you think he could not gather one more ounce of ebbing strength. And then from somewhere deep inside, I'm being dramatic here, but it's for a reason. They would do it one more time. He'd pin him. And then one, two, Hogan would hold that hand up. But this time, he would keep it up. And then he'd start shaking that fist. Then all of a sudden his whole body starts shaking. And he'd get up. And then the crowd would get into it. Do a little slow clap, you know. They get him up. Isn't this exciting? Feel like you're there, don't you? And just when the whole crowd thought that Andre the Giant had Hulk Hogan beat, something on the inside of Hulk Hogan rose up and said, this giant ain't no match for me. And he shook off the fear, shook off the doubt, and got enough power from the inside to be able to take down the giant. Now, I know that's a humorous story, but it put on your spiritual thinking caps. That's exactly the way the devil wants to get us. He wants to wrap us up. He wants to pin us down. And Satan would be there trying to count a 1, 2, 3 count to get us out. But I'm telling you what, if you can just reach your hand up and find with the strength that's on the inside, you can get up again and defeat that giant. Thank God you may be cast down tonight, but you're not destroyed. Why? Because we have a treasure on the inside. Amen. Well, I can tell that blessed a lot of you right there. But notice this. As we close, he says, I want you to notice here, the treasure starts in verse 6 and verse 7. But the trouble is in verse 8. You say, what's that mean, Brian? It means the treasure was already put on the inside before the trouble ever came. God already gives you the solution before the problem ever comes. And his name is Jesus. And then as we finish up, he says, here's why we go through all of that. Here's why we're beaten down. Here's why we're troubled. And here's why Satan doesn't get rid of all of our enemies. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He says they try to beat it out of us. They try to kill us. But the more they beat us, the more the light shines. And that's why God doesn't get rid of all of our enemies. Because when the enemies come against you, if Jesus lives on the inside, the more they cast you down, the more they persecute, the more they come at you, the more Jesus should shine from the inside. Thank God, I'm glad I have a treasure tonight. I'm glad I have a treasure. I'm not without hope. Why? Because he lives on the inside. I have a treasure, and his name is Jesus. Let's bow your heads tonight, and Angie and Howard, if you could come and get a song. Maybe you don't have a treasure on the inside. Maybe you don't have the Lord living in your heart. The thing is, you're going to face these same kind of trials that we are facing, but yet we have someone with us on the inside that's going to help us. You don't have him in your heart. You have to face him by yourself. And friend, I wouldn't want to face what's going on in this world right now without the Lord in my life. You may have come on a Wednesday night, just try to come in and slip back out. Just trying to make it through without even considering Jesus in your heart. Listen, friend, he loves you tonight. And I think if you even get a glimpse or just look at what's going on across this nation and across this world, what's happening in Afghanistan, you don't have to be a biblical scholar and know the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel or Ezekiel to understand what's going on. This thing's wrapping up in a hurry. Friend, listen, it's wrapping up in a hurry. And you better be ready to meet the Lord. We always say that, but I'm telling you, he's coming very, very, very soon. And you better have Jesus in your heart tonight. Because when he comes back, he's going to be looking for treasure. He's going to be treasure hunting. He's going to try to find the treasure that's hidden on the inside of your heart and that you're holding. And if you don't have it, my friend, you'll have to leave. You'll have to stay here and endure awful persecution like you never thought. I don't want that to happen to you. If you don't know him tonight, I beg you, accept the Lord. I feel that tonight. I feel there's someone here that really needs to be saved and give your heart to Jesus.